In 2007, the Social Issues Research Center, I didn't know about it before I started on this lesson, but this group published a study which was simply titled Belonging. It's a British study, but I think there's some important parallels to us. The report begins by saying this: the notion of belonging or social identity is a central aspect of how we define who we are. We consider ourselves to be individuals, but it is our membership of particular groups that is most important in constructing a sense of identity. Social identity is a fundamental aspect of what it is to be human. A good example of this might be found in the way that we converse with each other, right? We identify within groups, and that sort of helps us identify who we are. We belong to these groups, and it helps us understand each other. Think about the last time you had a conversation with a person who you did not know before you started that conversation. Now, maybe that's uncomfortable for you. I grew up in a family where my dad was accused of being able to talk to a post, so this is not a problem for me. I could strike up a conversation with someone and it not be a challenge. But if you had those kinds of conversations, what is the natural thing that you do in starting a conversation with that person? Well, sometimes or often we ask questions that help us identify that individual with some group of people. We might ask questions like, well, where do you work? Or what kind of work do you do? Or maybe we ask, well, where are you from? Or where do you live? What are we doing? Well, we're asking questions to try to understand the group that this person belongs to. And in some way, we try to relate to that person or find some common ground that we can have a conversation with, The groups that people belong to help us understand who people are. This report goes on. It sought to understand whether changes in our society, like increased globalization and online networking, if those changes result in a decreased need to belong to historical groups, or if we are simply finding new ways of belonging. The report examined six areas where people are most frequently, where people most frequently use to create a sense of belonging. So this report looked at these six areas that people identify most frequently with as areas in which they find belonging. And those six were family. In fact, family was the number one most common place where people found a sense of belonging. Friends. Advocacy or politics, nationality, profession, and sports and hobbies. Do you notice anything missing out of those top six groups? Yeah, wait a second. What do you find that's missing? That's a question. Religion, yeah. And it's not that religion was not looked at. It's just that it wasn't the primary source that provides a sense of belonging. When asked who or what provides a sense of belonging, religion was on the list, but it was the ninth most common answer. Now, some of this is skewed because it's a British study and not an American study, but I think there certainly are some similarities there. But there was actually an entire section of this study devoted to religion. And here's how this study started, or this section on religion started. Church membership in Western Europe has been experiencing a rapid decline over the past several decades. In 1964, 74% of UK citizens claimed they belonged to a religion and attended regular religious services, compared to 31% in 2005. Even the survey questions themselves had to be changed accordingly over the years. The somewhat leading question, "What is your religion?" from the 1960s questionnaire had to be changed in latter surveys to, "Do you regard yourself as belonging to any particular religion?" Isn't that interesting, right? This is a study of Brits, And so from the 60s to the 2005, the percent of people who identified with a religious group had declined from 74% to 31%. Now, this same thing is very true in the United States, although not quite as pronounced. There was a Gallup poll that's conducted yearly on church attendance. And in 2008, it found that 42% of American adults say that they attended religious services weekly or almost weekly. But by 2017, that number had dropped down to 38% of American adults. And yet, in spite of declining church attendance, identification as Christian has remained relatively high. That study done by the Social Issues Research Center reported that 72% of Brits claimed to be Christians. The Gallup poll found that 73% of Americans claimed to be Christians. But do you see the disconnect here? Even though almost three-quarters of people in these surveys identified themselves as Christians, this belief does not provide a sense of belonging. The British report described it this way: religious affiliation has since been characterized as having shifted from strong, regular faith-based participation in organized church activities to believing without belonging. Isn't that interesting? Believing without belonging. My question to you this morning is this. It's a very simple question. Do you belong? Do you belong? That's kind of a blunt question, right, in one way, right? If I ask it a little bit differently, do you belong here, right? That's sort of a blunt question, like if the answer to that question was no, we might kick you out or something like that. That's certainly not what we're going to do, but have you ever experienced not belonging? Ever been someplace where it's completely obvious that you don't belong and everyone makes it abundantly clear that you don't belong? It's a terrible feeling. I had that experience not so long ago, in 2009, I was asked to present to a healthcare class at the College of the Ozarks. I'd never been on the campus of the College of the Ozarks, and the classroom that I was supposed to be on was on the third floor of one of the academic buildings. I think it was actually the Jones Learning Institute. I'm not quite sure. I don't really remember. And so I drove around, I found a parking lot, I parked, followed somebody in the basement door, didn't really realize at the time, I walked past a laundry room, and I hit the elevator button to go up to the third floor. I get out of the third floor, and I start walking down the third floor, and lo and behold, I'm on Mabee Residence Hall. Mabee Residence Hall, if you're not familiar, is a female dorm. And College of the Ozarks, unlike some colleges now, has a very strict policy about who can be in the dorms. I was of the wrong gender to be on the third floor of this dorm. It was made abundantly clear to me that I did not belong when people started screaming, "Man on the floor! Man on the floor!" And I was escorted off the floor. I was just trying to get to a class I was supposed to teach. You ever experience what it's like to not belong? That's what it feels like. I assure you, if the answer to your question of do you belong is no, we're not going to do that to you. We're not going to run you off. And that's because the church is a place to find belonging. Within the church is a place to find belonging. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul says, "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." In the church is belonging. You're not a stranger, you're not a foreigner, but fellow citizens. In the church, if there's nowhere else in the world that you can find belonging, you ought to be able to find belonging in the church. What's interesting, though, is that the study that we had looked at It shows a shift in our society, a shift that people want to believe but not belong. Another way to describe this might be that people want to be solitary Christians. And here's the issue. There is no such thing as a solitary Christian. In fact, it's quite the opposite, isn't it? Remember what we're told prophetically about the church in Psalm 68 and 6? There we're told that God sets the solitary in families. Speaking of the church, that's what God does. God takes people who have no one else and gives them a family in the church. And yet our society is shifting to a place where people want to be a solitary Christian, and that's really not what the church is. The message of Christians is one of togetherness, isn't it? Just think for a minute about all of the ways that we are described as being together. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We as Christians are joined and knit together. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, we are built up together. In Ephesians 3 and 6, we are heirs together. Ephesians 2, 21, we're fitted together. Colossians 2, 19, we are held together. And in the end, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, we will be caught up together. There is a lot of togetherness within the church, isn't there? Consider the metaphors that are used to describe the church. The church is likened to the relationships of individual, the Bible likens the relationships of individual members in the church to the body of Christ as things like an organ in the human body. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we're described as being a stone in a building. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, we're a sheep amongst a flock. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, we're described as children in a family. And so a Christian who wants to try to be a solitary Christian, who doesn't want to belong, wants to believe and not belong, that Christian is somewhat like an organ without a body, like a sheep without a flock, like a child without a family. All of those things are unnatural, unhealthy, dangerous in many ways. You know, I can remember, I'm sure this is an anecdote that's been shared many times, but I remember my dad telling me a story about a man who didn't want to be part of the congregation. He just wanted to be a Christian, but be a Christian by himself. So the elders of the congregation went to visit with him, and as they sat around the fire, they didn't have anything really to say. The elder got the poker for the fire, and got one ember, pulled that one ember out away from the fire, and they just watched that one ember slowly die. Because that's what happens, isn't it? If you're a solitary Christian and if you don't belong in the congregation, then what happens? You're by yourself and you slowly die out. And that's because belonging is much more than belief, isn't it? Certainly belief is necessary, right? Have you ever been to an event for something that you don't believe in? Why don't you think about that for a minute? Have you ever been to an event that is sponsored by or promotes something that you don't believe in? Probably not, right? I mean, it may have happened, but probably not. So I want you to imagine these scenarios to help us understand why belief is an important part of belonging. Belief is necessary, right? But belonging is much more than belief. See, you're here because in some ways you believe. But going to an event that you don't believe in, it's almost like, for example, Travis attending a World Series parade for the Cubs. Maybe Emily attending a book burning. Jacob going to a PETA rally, Munden at a Ford Fest, or Mike at the Democratic National Convention. None of those make sense, do they, right? Why don't any of those things make sense? Because those people don't belong to those groups, do they? They're all ridiculous. Each of these individuals lack the belief in those events. And so I was thinking about this. Have I ever been to an event that I didn't believe in? And I can remember in college I was taking a world religions class, and the assignment was to go to a religious organization, a religious meeting that you don't believe in, and write an essay on it. And I can remember the group that I went to. I certainly did not feel like I belonged, and I bet people around me recognized that I did not feel like I belonged. I don't recall, but I bet I probably sat with my arms crossed. There was a lot of standing up and sitting down and kneeling going on, and I didn't do any of that. There was a point in time where everybody came forward, and I didn't do any of that. And so I was there, but I didn't belong. I didn't believe. You're here most certainly because you believe, but belonging is more than belief. Because belonging requires something, doesn't it? To have a sense of belonging, there's a requirement. One of those requirements is commitment. See, the difference between being a church attender and a church member is commitment. Attenders are spectators from the sidelines. Members get involved. Attenders are consumers, while members are contributors. Attenders want to benefit from the church without sharing in responsibility. It's like a couple who wants to live together but not be married. There's no commitment there. And probably the best connection there is our relationship with our spouse. I find a sense of belonging with Emily because there's a commitment there. And I bet you feel the same way with your spouse too. That you belong to your spouse. You feel a sense of belonging with your spouse because there is a commitment. Consider the commitment of the early church. In Acts chapter 2, we find the church as it has just begun. But I want to point out verses 44 through 47. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them amongst all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Do you see the sense of belonging there that is rooted in commitment? Well, most certainly there's belief, right? It starts with belief. Now all who believe were together. And yet, do you see the commitment that the early church had? They had all things in common. They had sold their possessions and goods and divided it amongst everyone who had need. That's commitment, right? That's commitment. But they were beyond that. They committed to spending time with each other. So this passage also highlights the second requirement for finding a sense of belonging in church. Not just do we have to have commitment, but we also have to have communion. Because belonging requires communion. This might be an oversimplification, but you can't have a sense of belonging without spending time with each other. And it's more than just spending time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you are perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Paul's telling the Corinthian church, they were having some problems. He's telling them, you need to have some unity. You need to commune with each other. It's hard to have communion when there's divisions, because there's a lack of unity. And so one of the necessary components of belonging is communion. When I thought about how to make this relate, I thought about my own class reunion. I did not attend my 25th high school class reunion. And there's I mean, some of it was distance and time. Some of it was importance, and importance sort of draws into this. But other than graduating from the same school in the same year, I really don't have much in common with those people anymore. I don't socialize with them. I don't follow them on Facebook for a large percentage of folks. If I were to see someone in the walking through the Walmart, I might say hello to them. I don't have anything in common. Even those that I share something in common with, I don't stay in touch with. There's a classmate who works in the same industry as I do. I thought, you know what, I'm gonna stay in touch with that person. That was it. That wasn't a strong enough common bond for me to commune with that person. See, I'm part of the Lee Summit High School class of 1996, but I don't find a sense of belonging in that group. You have to commune to belong. You have to have some sense of unity to belong. Another aspect of this communion within the church that creates a sense of belonging is hospitality. The church must be and is a haven for hospitality. Consider Paul and Luke, and I think Mike may get to this in his class, but consider Paul and Luke on their way to Rome. In Acts chapter 28, we find Paul and Luke had been shipwrecked on the island of Malta. That didn't distract them from the journey. They catch another ride, and they're making their way up to Rome. And think about what the church does in this passage. I'm going to read Acts chapter 28, 11 through 15. After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there, we circled around and reached Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew. And the next day, we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went towards Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appius Forum and the Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Luke here recounts Christians from 3 separate towns coming to Paul's aid. It's highly unlikely that any of these Christians had ever met Paul. Paul certainly had never been to these places before. And yet these brethren came and took care of Paul and Luke. And I suspect that you've probably experienced this same kind of hospitality in the church too. People find it strange. I can recall that Lisa Raddick, who is a member of a congregation in Michigan, she and I are both work in radiation oncology, and so she and I attend a conference with some regularity. And so whenever we get together, we try to go to services together. I can remember we caught a bus and went to the J Street congregation in Denver. Emily was with me when we went to San Francisco, and we rented a car, and Emily and I and Lisa and one of her co-workers went to the congregation, Novato. And what was interesting is later on in the conference, Lisa's co-worker made a comment about how odd it was that we would be received by this group of people who were thousands of miles away from where we live. And, you know, Emily and I stayed and ate lunch. Lisa and her co-worker couldn't, but we stayed and ate lunch. I'm sure that if we wanted to hang out with the congregation all day, we could have. Emily and I have experienced this in traveling to other countries. We had opportunity to worship with a group of Christians in Crete. After the service was done, one of the members offered to drive us around the island and give us a tour. It's just, the church is the haven of hospitality. And with that comes a sense of belonging. On a local level, spending time with the church, whether it's for services or for something else, is another way that we can generate this sense of belonging. It ought to increase our sense of belonging. You know, we sing about this. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Don't you experience that, right? It's really one of the primary reasons why many of us love going to the Midwest Bible Campout, isn't it? It's about communing with one. It's about spending time with other Christians. Because it's certainly not about the accommodations. I mean, there's lots of people who are sleeping in the dirt. And it's certainly not about the weather, because it's either raining or it's smoking hot. But we ignore those things because it's about spending time with other Christians. So let me ask you the question. Earlier, I told you in the lesson that the message would be centered around a single question. Do you belong? So what's the answer? What's the answer? Do you belong? If the answer is yes, then great. Now I would encourage you to consider, what are you doing to help others find a sense of belonging in the congregation? And if the answer is no, the response is not get out. Non-Christian in the room, like male on the floor, man on the floor, like I experienced. No, if the answer to do you belong is no, then the response is really another question. Is, do you want to belong? Do you want to belong? If you're a member of the church and don't find a sense of belonging in the church, then there's something wrong. Either we're not doing our part to help you to commune with you, or you're not doing your part to be committed. There's lots of ways that you can make that commitment, but certainly one way is to become a member of the congregation. If you're not even a member of the body of Christ, then the answer to that question is, do you belong? The answer is no. And that's a sad thing, but it's not a we're going to kick you out kind of thing. It's a what can we do to help you belong? And that first step is very, very simple. The first step in finding belonging in the church is becoming a part of the church. And the way you do that is to give your life over to Christ through the waters of baptism. This morning, I want you to consider that question, do you belong? And if the answer is no, then I would encourage you to do something about it. Do something about it, whether it's place membership, whether it is to become baptized, or maybe it's just change your life and make a commitment to so that you can belong. So that's the message this morning. Consider your soul as we stand and sing the closing number.